Thank you. I walked into court today and saw a gold fringe on the flag. It reminded me of old cinch body bags. Of all my relations, now just ashes and patience and isolation stations, observation nation, population vaccination, pinpoint evacuation. As we enter winter doors like Civil War chess pieces, swivel your test thesis against my mind clutter manifesto. As friends diary, Roger plans to Modesto, Desto is an orchestral depresso with the power to presto and escrow. Martial law will harsh us all. Martial law will harsh us all. Martial law will harsh us all. Other stained mosque militias versus our brainwashed brothers and sisters. I hate this shit. We're on the wrong team. So long to strong dreams, strung along the song streams. More than magically suspicious, chronologically fictitious. Mainstream multimedia militias. Satellite dishes, sat in the light as three-eyed cattle fight vicious. Fuck MP3 and the DMV. This is World War III and I'm word worthy. Hurling through space, I came here just a bit early to face all of my fears have been strategically placed. The fall of the deer has been logistically erased. And yet, one deer stands and yet one deer heart races through the land. Traces through the sand, alarming the farm horses. Disarming the armed forces. The Marines will smother your dreams. The Air Force doesn't care for you, of course. The Navy will put you in the grave, G. The Army will harm thee. The military will kill and bury.
What are you talking about?
You know, most people don't even know that we're under martial law.
My brother's a Marine.
All the armed forces.
This song is stupid. What are you talking about? No, fuck you.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, this is Jake. You're listening to the Lying Media Bastard Show on Radioactive San Diego. And that just there was Tumex and Mum's the Word. I've heard he's an actor and poet. I've seen several versions of his name. I've seen Mum's the Word, Mum's the Schemer. But Tumex and Mum's somebody doing martial law. And before that, we had Go Team doing Bottle Rocket, The Descendants doing My Age, the Beastie Boys doing Sabotage. I apologize for that one. I was apparently an incomplete file that I was playing. I thought I had the entire song, but I did not. Before that, we had a mashup with Eminem and some sort of ragtime song, some Scott Joplin, The Entertainer, sort of piano thing. And then we started it off with In the Year of the Pig. Last night I had a dream that I didn't hate you, but then I woke up. So, yes, let's see here. So many things to speak of. I'm going to start with the easy stuff. My brain, you know, I might not get to the hard stuff today. The brain not functioning at full power. I'm sick. And the sickness has, it's overflowed into other boundaries, overflowed the boundaries in other parts of my life. I'm a fella who lives a lot of time alone. I'm sort of hermity. I'm a bit of a hermit, homebody, whatever. And because I've been sick, didn't go to work. One of my jobs, I work, today will be the first day of the week I actually attend that job. Which means that I've had just about no interaction with people except for some, you know, hey, how was your day with my dad when he comes home from work? And some phone calls. So, and I find that kind of pushes me over the edge a bit. The being a hermit and being in a situation where you are home almost all the time, I kind of, at least for me, not the greatest thing. It has an impact. It makes me a little nutty. And then on top of that, because I've been sick, I've been trying to, trying to lay low, trying to relax, reserve my energy. Conserve my energy? Yes, conserve my energy. And that means I'm not exercising at all, and I find that if I go long periods without, or even short periods without exercising, that can have an impact on my mood, so I'm a little nutty and edgy and paranoid, basically. So, So I could start giving you a lecture about the nature of free trade, but I might like, what's that? I might stop in the middle because I hear noises or I see a bee outside and I'm afraid it's going to get me. So, funny that is, how the emotions color all aspects of our lives. And they do. But yeah, so like I said, I'll do the easy stuff. I will be recommending media stuff, political media stuff. First we got a new cartoon on Cartoon Network called The Boondocks, based on the comic strip of the same name. Comic strip's pretty good stuff, mostly about a little African-American boy named Huey, who's very aware of the hypocrisy and racism of our society and does not hesitate to point it out and take action on it. He can make fun of himself. It's not that he's always the character who's always right or always knows what to do or doesn't have any flaws. He does. There's some comedy in it there as well. But it's him and his family, and they live in the... They've moved recently to white suburbs. And there's your comic, and that's sort of the plot line of the cartoon. So I'm hoping the cartoon will be very good, be as you know, hard-hitting as the comic strip. But we'll see. TV is a, I don't know, more mainstreaming medium. Tends to take what you got and suck some of the life out of it for the sake of mass audiences. So we'll see how that goes. Also saw last week the movie Good Luck and Good Night, which is the story of newsman Edward R. Murrow and his news team with, I think the show is called See It Now. This was in the 1950s. And they took on Joseph McCarthy, the red-baiting, Red Scare senator from, I can't remember from where. And, so yeah, so I mean, that was an interesting look at, you know, another time where there was a lot of fear and a lot of government repression and people sort of questioning each other and their loyalties and all that. So, obviously, that has some, one or two parallels to our current situation these days. And interestingly, I found on their website, they had a link to another site called reportitnow.com. I think there was dashes between report and it and it and now. Report-it-now.com. And really, it's sort of encouraging you to get involved in media reform, into pressuring our news agencies to actually report what's going on. And there's also some stuff about you doing reporting, saying, is there an important going on in your important story going on in your hometown? Report it for us. We'll put it on this site. So there's like a media reform, independent media angle, and it's tied into this film. So I was kind of pleased to see that. And when I was in the theater watching the ad for this, they had an ad for a movie called Syriana, which looks to be, if you remember the movie Traffic that came out a few years ago. Traffic was about the drug trade, but looked at it from all points of view, from, you know, the government, from law enforcement, from the junkies, from the dealers, from all sorts of points of view of people who were involved with it, and all sorts of, you know, the shady underbelly of it all. Syriana is written by the same guy that did Traffic and looks to be pretty much the same thing as Traffic, except it's about oil. The oil trade instead of the drug trade. Which looks to be very interesting, because that involves government and, you know, lobbying and shady government policy and CIA interventions and assassinations and so on. So, that one looks to be worth watching. And then I also have to promote this one, liberationvideo.com. This fella sent me an email about it last week. It's basically like Netflix, but it's for politically progressive and radical films. A lot of documentaries, a lot of sort of underground videos that get traded back and forth among people, you know, as well as, you know, some stuff that was released into theaters and all that. So I would check that out, liberationvideo.com. I think it was $12 a month. They only give you one video at a time. So, you know, it's your call. I might have to sneeze in a moment. I'm sick. Okay, it's best. This is really interesting to me. Robert Greenwald is a film producer and director. He's made about four or five movies now that are just these little political documentaries that are mostly made up of collage, you know, collaging together existing footage and new footage made up of interviews with people. And they're cheaply made. They're done in a relatively short amount of time. They go straight to video and are used by people, by activists, as sort of a recruitment and educational tool. He's just come out with his new one, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price. And it's going straight to DVD, but it is going to be shown in some theaters. But most interesting to me is that there's a sort of this grassroots effort to create a premiere week, they're calling it, where all sorts of individuals and organizations and churches and unions and whatnot are having small screenings of the film in their own hometowns. You know, whether it be in somebody's garage or the church or the union hall or wherever. And last I'd heard, I think there was 7,000 of these screenings going on around the country. Here in San Diego, let me announce, the San Diego Independent Media Center is hosting one at Voz Alta, the art gallery downtown. Friday, November 18th at 8 p.m., 1544 Broadway. And it looks like after the film, there will be a discussion with the Center for Policy Initiatives. I believe they're a liberal economic consortium of some sort. This is a different take on, you know, general media, this idea of making political documentaries going straight to video. But then this grassroots movement to get this thing shown, I think, is really pretty amazing. This San Diego is a fairly conservative town, and I just did a search on the Walmart movie website. I think it's walmartmovie.com. And I think there was 30 screenings during the 1 week in this county, in this conservative county. So it's kind of cool to hear. So, check those out. Well, check them out if you want. I think the movie's worth checking. I think the Walmart movie's worth checking out. I think Liberation Video's worth checking out. Boondocks, if you want, I'll keep you posted. I'll keep watching, and I'll let you know if the show... I did see the one episode, and it was kind of good. A little messy. I was a little confused as to where the show was going. I did read some descriptions of upcoming shows, and one of them, they say, is going to be... it's going to turn out that Martin Luther King Jr. didn't die in the assassination attempt on his life back in the 60s, that he was just put in a coma, and that he reawakens in modern times, and how he continues his work on social justice and nonviolence, and as quickly becomes one of the most hated men in the country because of it, which is what would happen, actually, if he were alive today. Let's see what else... I guess we've got, there's going to be a barn raising, they're calling it, for, what's the station, WRFU, this is in, Urbana-Champaign area, in Illinois. They're building a community radio station, the Prometheus Radio Project, and some of the independent media folks out there. They're doing it over the weekend. It's really pretty amazing. It's they're going and they're setting this thing up, as I think they're also setting up a wireless network, wireless internet, just around the city. Let's see. Should I read this press release? Sure. Join us for another hair-raising, spine-tingling, electrically charged weekend radio project. Jump in with hundreds of volunteers from around the country as we come together to build a new radio station from microphone to antenna in 3 headlong days. Prometheus Radio teams up with the powerhouse Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center to build Radio Free Urbana, WRFU, low-power FM, in the new space for the Independent Media Center. I'm no longer content to engage and enthrall scores of volunteers with plain old radio barn raising. Prometheus and the UCIMC take on the mammoth task of building a radio station over the course of a single weekend. But we're not stopping with the FM airwaves. We're setting our sights on freeing the whole spectrum for use by democratic communications as we look to the future of radio. This barn raising round will also build out the Champaign Urbana. I should go with another name for that city. From now on, I'm calling that city Tom. Champaign Urbana is now Tom. Going to build out the Tom Wireless Network, a pioneering leader in community broadband services. So simultaneously, this weekend, they're going to be creating this radio station, putting together all the equipment, building the transmitter and the antenna and all that. And they're also going, I guess there's already a sort of a small wireless internet network built into the IMC there, and they're going to expand it so it's of more use to the public and people who live outside of the area. They're doing that this weekend, and they say they're going to start broadcasting on the 13th, which I believe is Sunday. I looked up at our calendar on the wall. The calendar is in October, so I can't tell you. But, so that sounds interesting, like interesting stuff. If you want to hear more about that, you can go to PrometheusRadio.org, PrometheusRadio.org/Urbana. Urbana is URBANA, and is a hard word to pronounce. But yeah, I think that's all that I'm all ramble about at the moment. Thanks for listening. I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastards radio program. What do I got? Oh, this is a fun one. This is a band called Magnetic Fields. I think it's another one of these bands that's pretty much just one guy and whatever musicians he can scrounge up that'll record with him. And this is a song called Let's Pretend We're Bunny Rabbits. And the first time I heard it, it was sort of, you know, a mopey, high-pitched love song, morning sort of song, oh, why don't you love me sort of thing. Until I heard the chorus, they say, let's pretend we're bunny rabbits, let's do it all night long. And it goes on in that vein during the chorus, about bunnies and sex, and so on. So anyhow, this is Magnetic Fields. I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastard Show on Radioactive San Diego. Thanks for listening. Don't forget that Walmart movie screening is next Friday for you San Diegans. And if you want to go to a movie screening of that film and do not live in San Diego, you can A, buy the DVD directly from the website, walmartmovie.com, or go to walmartmovie.com and they have a search engine where you can do a search for local places that will be screening this film. And like I said, there's 7,000 around the country. There's a pretty good chance that wherever you are, they're going to be showing it. So I would go there and you punch in your zip code, and it'll give you some answers. So that's all. You should go watch. I'm Jake. Blah, blah, blah. I'm sick.
of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order, can emerge. A new era.
It's a new world order. The Bush boys coming. Check it.
Bush boys coming.
Yeah.
Bush boys coming.
Come on.
Bush boys coming.
Yeah.
Bush boys coming.
Uh-huh.
Bush boys coming.
Yeah.
Bush boys coming.
Come on.
Bush boys coming.
Yeah.
Bush boys coming.
Open your eyes and your ears and your hearts and your mind and you see that something's going on. Open your soul and your spirit. Your melon is trying to tell you, brother, something is wrong. Reagan and Bush and then Reagan and Bush and then Bush and then Clinton. Again. I never thought I would ever see the day when African people would say they Republican. Act like they love them, but ain't nobody saying nothing. Motherfuckers got their fingers on the button. Bush boys ready to blow. Ready for war. Niggas acting like they're ready to go. But I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here. Y'all better call the police to the streets. I'm gonna stand on my feet like Muhammad Ali with my fist in the air saying, power to the people. Bush boys ready to blow.
A grave threat to peace and America's determination to lead the world in confronting that threat. The threat comes from Iraq.
Meanwhile, in Iraq,
the problem with Iraq remains the nature of the regime itself.
first, the second one could be a little longer, but the first one has to be short.
Shopping for any new shoes, and I certainly haven't been spreading myself around. I still only travel by foot, and by foot it's a slow climb, but I'm good at being uncomfortable, so I can't stop changing all the time. I notice that my opponent is always on the go and won't go slow, so's not to focus. And I notice he'll let you ride with any guide as long as they go fast from whence he came, but he's no good at being uncomfortable, so he can't stop staying exactly the same. If there was a better way to go, then it would find me. I can't help it, the road just rolls out behind me. Be kind to me or treat me mean, I'll make the most of it, I'm an extraordinary machine. I seem to you to seek a new disaster every day. You deem me due to clean my view and be at peace and lay. Along for long before you came into the play, I am the baby of the family. It happened.
happens so everybody cares and wears the sheep's clothes while they chaperone. Curious, you're looking down your nose at me while you appease. Courteous to try and help, but let me set your mind at ease. If there was a better way to go, then it would find me. I can't help it, the road just rolls out behind me. Be kind to me, or treat me mean. I'll make the most of it, I'm an extraordinary machine. But the road just rolls out behind me. Be kind to me, or treat me mean. I'll make the most of it, I'm an extraordinary machine. If there was a better way to go, then it would find me. I can't help it, the road just rolls out behind me. Be kind to me, or treat me.
Gigantic, a creepy love.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Lying Media Bastards radio show. I'm Jake. That was a couple tracks from the Pixies. Hey, a live version of Hey, and a non-live version of Gigantic. But what do we have before that? We had... I always talk to myself that way. What do I do next? What am I doing? What am I saying? Sorry. Y'all get my internal monologue. See, there's nobody here for me to talk to. So I have to hold on both ends of the conversation, which leads to hilarity, I'm told. For that, we had Fiona Apple. Now, you probably heard about this one. This was the... her new album is called Extraordinary Machine, and this was the one that she recorded, and her record company didn't think it was going to be popular enough, so they refused to release it, which is really sort of the evil thing to do to... musicians, record labels can do this, where you have you've got a contract with them that says your next three albums are going to be with them. You owe them three albums, and maybe you record one and it doesn't do so well, so you record a second one, and they say, your last one didn't sell so well. We're not going to spend any money advertising this, or we're not going to release it. Period. But you owe us another album. So if your first one didn't do so well, you don't have much money, and you're not going to make much of anything at all. You're probably going to go into debt on the second one, because that's how record labels work, is they loan you money to make your albums. They give you in advance. And until you pay them back via how many records you sell, your tiny percentage. And per record, you make about 15%. 12 to 15% is the average... return is the average royalty that an artist makes on their albums that they sell through a big record label. So maybe you are in debt from the first album because you didn't sell enough to pay them back, and you had to borrow more money from them to make your second album, and now they don't want to release it, so you make zero money, and you sell them another album, which is how sometimes you'll hear about a big-name artist who has abruptly gone into bankruptcy. You say, how can they do that? They had like a $1 million record deal. And stuff like that. Anyhow, so she released a very popular first album, whose name escapes me. I think it had an apple on the cover. Another album where she decided to get a little pretentious, and the title of the album was literally 50 words long. It's called something like, When the Pawn Decides That It Doesn't Want to Be the Queen, and the this and the that, and the who knows. Now, if you're trying to make a living as a recording artist, you really actually have to have somewhat short, memorable, pronounceable album titles. Honestly, I have seen several bands whose second or third albums, they picked a long name, they picked a goofy name, they picked a name in another language that people can't pronounce, and they failed, and honestly, I believe that it's largely due to the title. You can't go in and say, hey, I want that album from Fiona Apple. Which one? I don't know what it's called. And then you don't get the album. But anyhow, after Sony... Is it Sony? After Evil Record Company X... I don't know if I lost the CD. After the record company decided to not release it, somebody leaked this album to the internet. And, people really enjoyed the tracks they were hearing, and this encouraged Evil Record Label to finally go ahead and release the album, and that's what you heard there, a track from the album. I talked about that for a reason. Before that, we had System of a Down doing Prison Song. I was telling you all earlier that I was feeling kind of sick and paranoid and nutty. Angry music sometimes helps me release some of that. So System of a Down doing Prison Song, which is really sort of speed metal with a bunch of statistics about U.S. prisons in there. Before that, we had Ministry, Just One Fix. Danger Mouse, DJ Danger Mouse and Gemini doing Bush Boys about the George W. Bush and his father. And then before that, we started off with the Magnetic Fields. Let's pretend we're bunny rabbits. Now, you might have heard about the rioting going on in Argentina. There was a summit meeting in Argentina, Summit of the Americas, which I believe includes every country in North and South America except Cuba. Cuba is not invited. No one invites Cuba to play in all their reindeer games. And a lot of topics were discussed, but the U.S. kept pushing for a trade agreement. There's a trade agreement. I mean, we have NAFTA, which is the North American Free Trade Agreement, which is an agreement between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. I believe we have CAFTA, Central American Free Trade Agreement, which is probably the U.S. and countries in the Caribbean, except Cuba, and probably Guatemala and Nicaragua and whatnot. Now the U.S. wants the FTAA, the Free Trade Area of the Americas, which would include every country in North and South America, except Cuba. Now, what saddens me is I sort of feel a kinship with a lot of the liberal and progressive political bloggers who are out there. I write a website, a similar website myself. But when I see them, often they just talk about Bush and the war, and that's about as political as they get. They don't seem to venture too much into systemic issues, and they all lining them up and saying, you know, for the most part, I'm for free trade. But I don't think they really looked into what's going on, because these free trade agreements aren't about, you know, because the name, who could be against free trade? Like, hey, I got something, you got something, we swap, and it's free, hey. But that is not what a free trade agreement is. Generally, the free trade agreement, you got your step one, which is what everybody thinks of with free trade agreements, is they eliminate or loosen or lessen any tariffs that these countries have with each other. You know, the U.S. had a tariff on cable. They said every cable that gets imported into the U.S., there's going to be a 5% tariff on that. And then, you know, the guy wants to sell the table in the U.S. has to pay that extra tariff. And he puts that adds the price of the tariff onto the price of his table, which makes it harder for you to sell your table in the U.S. because your table costs 5% more. The whole point of having these tariffs, of course, is so that people who can make this stuff cheaply don't come in and outsell your local folks. You know, somebody could come in and make... Mexico could make very cheap tables, and there's no tariff. Maybe they can come in and sell tables so cheaply American table makers go out of business. I'm not sure why I picked cable. Let's just go with it. So that's one part of the free trade. But the much larger part of it, we're going to ban the selling of poison tables because it's dangerous. People eat on tables and they die. Little children can, you know, be killed. A dog can lick the table and die. The country selling the poison table, selling the item that has been banned, can go to some sort of tribunal or court or regulatory board and say, hey, they've given us a non-tariff barrier to trade. That's not, they're against free trade. We just want to sell our poison tables, and they're not letting us. That's not fair. That's not free. And usually these tribunals and courts and all that will say, you know what? That's right. This is not free trade. You know what? If you don't allow these poison tables into the country, United States, then every time you try to sell your fish sticks in Mexico, Mexico is going to be allowed to slap a huge tariff on that in retaliation for your discriminatory anti-poison table laws. They're going to be able to put a 50% tax on your fish sticks. And if that tariff is going to hurt the U.S. economy, which it's designed to do, they say, oh no, we don't want to hurt our economy. I guess we better allow the poison tables in. Now, if for some products that would be no big deal, you know, a poison table, you don't have to buy it if you don't want. But if it's an item like the U.S. had a ban on, highly polluting trucks. Well, you don't have to buy a highly polluting truck, but somebody who buys one and is driving it, well, that's getting into your lungs, pal. So that's part of it. Free trade generally means that these treaties will supersede what little democracy we have in our countries. It means that these treaties, that somebody who wants to sell something has more rights than the people who live and vote there. Now, it gets worse because other barriers to free trade can be things like labor laws. You know, laws that protect workers or say that they only have to work a 40-hour week or guarantee a minimum wage. These can be challenged. And even before they're challenged, it's something that in the trade treaties they try to break down. Also, environmental laws, environmental protection for industries or for, you know, the people that, you know, have regulation for polluting industries. Free trade treaties try to attack those. I've even heard in Canada, there's been some challenges against their national health care system, saying, oh gosh, you know, we can't compete with Canada because their government pays for everybody's medical care. That's not right. They shouldn't have that. They should have to pay for their own workers' medical care, and that'll cause their prices to go up, and then we'll be competitive with them, which is ruthless. We want to make a whole country, you know, lose their medical care so that some fucking corporation can compete, make a better profit? I don't. And then on top of that, this is one of the craziest bits, is it's not always free. One of the biggest issues that comes up with free trade talks is to ban free trade. It is to uphold copyright law. It says that if you have a copyright on something in the U.S., a copyright pretty much means you have monopoly rights to sell that thing. You know, you've copyrighted the, whatever, some special sort of table, to keep going with my stupid table theme. You've copyrighted a certain brand, a certain model of table, certain material, certain design. Tables with triangular tops, let's say. You get a copyright on that, or a patent. Hell, I get them confused. A patent on your triangle table. And these free trade agreements, all the other countries agree to honor the intellectual property rights, the right to have monopoly control over patented and copyrighted items. Other countries agree to honor the copyrights and patents of that are held in other countries, which is explicitly anti-free trade. You're giving one company monopoly rights on these certain things. So free trade is really helping out the rich. Free trade is corporate trade. Free trade is this way of helping out people who know they're going to win when those rules are applied. And which is why I'm never in favor of free trade treaties. They almost always are set up like this. The only way I could possibly be in favor of one is if it had a certain number of guarantees about worker rights and environmental protection and something for the people who are going to be, you know, bankrupted by this. I mean, this is a NAFTA. The story of NAFTA is that the United States gives huge agricultural subsidies to farmers in the U.S. Because they get these huge subsidies, they can sell their crops, you know, in other countries for very low prices. NAFTA kicks in. The U.S. is flooding the Mexican market with very low-price agricultural goods. A lot of the farmers in Mexico are not big corporations. They're individual peasants who work, you know, by themselves or with their families or in groups to grow crops and sell them. They lose. They cannot sell enough crops to maintain their livelihoods. They lose their farms. They lose their farms. They need jobs. They still need to eat. So they move to the border where there's this boom of new factories, because NAFTA makes it very easy for a U.S. company to move its factory down to Mexico. and they're put to work down there for sweatshop wages. Now, there were already sweatshop wage factories down along the border, maquiladoras, but now there's even more people. Because these farmers have been driven off their land, there's now more workers trying for a small number of jobs, which means they can probably, due to the competition, that the employers can say, well, we were going to pay you, $5 an hour, but this guy over here, he'll take $4. How about you? Will you take less than $4? If you take less than $4, we'll give you the job. So that guy says, I'll take $3. Say, okay, this other guy over here, he'll take $2. And it's the race to the bottom. American workers lose jobs. Mexican farmers lose their farms. Everybody ends up going for the lower wage jobs. And let's theoretically, a positive benefit of all this would be okay. The cost of producing things would be so much less that surely prices would go down. NAFTA went into effect in 1994. Do you remember a big price drop on anything around then? Have you seen any difference? Have you been saying, wow, prices are so much cheaper now? I know I haven't. I think prices did not change, and the only thing that happened was costs went down, prices stayed the same, which meant that big businesses had higher profits. And free trade did them a lot of good. I'm sure they don't regret it. Anyhow, so that was what was going on in Argentina when those riots were going on. The riots were actually going to be pretty much against George W. Bush. People are tired of him and his warmongering and all that. But surely this was on people's minds as well. I think because Bush's popularity and power are on the wane, I don't think he's going to be able to get a treaty like this passed. So, hooray for that. Anyhow, I've been rambling and discussing. I've been talking economics. I hope you all been listening. Has anybody? I guess maybe I shouldn't expect people to listen when I'm giving economics lectures. But, anyway. So, I'm Jake, Lime Media Bastard Show. My voice is starting to go. My throat's hurting. I'm sick. Can I complain enough about that? I'm sick. Feel sorry for me. But yeah, so I'm going to hop on the next song. It's going to be Rage Against the Machine. Furia contra la máquina, I believe they are in Spanish. And so yeah, I'm going to play them, play some more music. If my throat's up to it, I'll talk a little bit more later. But that's all. Thanks for listening. You can always go to my website, lyingmediabastards.com.
bird's cage and frozen still. There is no other pill to take, so swallow the one that made you ill.
time to get crazy. Before I go to bed, now a labor. People be talking, I feed dolphins. My defense is fly to coop off your mean office. My skills is a fortune. Robin Lee, Tad, a sweet Austin. Teaching four or fifth graders. Fuck what they say, cause we against the abortions. And we're laying low. Silent those clowning foes. Got him closed for his new funeral. We the fat Albert niggas. Spot running 86 crack rounds and pitches. Looking all suspicious. I'm out.
Yo, hold up.
I got stuck in my
nah, you can't be stopping. See what the fuck you ain't got. Hey, yo, you bugging this shit, son. You gotta have it the fuck up. Time is running, nigga, come on. What the fuck?
I work magic at a liquor store. Give me a dollar and I turn that bitch into five. And all I need is one more to get things started. Get retarded. I want you. I'ma fix these artists. Take it one by one. Tie them up, line them up. Treat them like a cigar. Fire them niggas up. Get me up in the club. 6 feet treat up. With them young cats with their gear on beat up. This is how I'ma kill them with four lines left. Hold your breath. Say my name five times. It takes practice, yo. Be careful when saying my name. It's like magic, yo. Inside you fuck up on the count in the house of blow. Like I be potent, I be coasting with two shotty
everything had come true. There'd be nothing left to do. Wander the halls, meet outside ourselves. Ring up the night watch to wake up the king's nurse. She could chase us through the kitchen asleep.
Please don't.
now come to the end of another Lying Media Bastards radio show. I'm Jake. You've been listening to What I Just Said on Radioactive San Diego. That song just there was Le Tigre doing Don't Drink Poison. Before that, we had Otto Lux with Blanket, Offspring with Baghdad. And if you thought it was the Dead Kennedys, good guess. That was an obvious ripoff of their style. Before that, we had Ghostface doing Beat the Clock, Japanther doing Selfish Kids, Silver Sun Pickups doing Kissing Families, and we started that set off with Rage Against the Machine, Sleep Now in the Fire. I hope I've been entertaining and informative for you. My head's not entirely in the game at the moment. If you want to catch my writing or get a listen to this show after the fact, you can go to my site, lyingmediabastards.com, and I will see y'all next week.